Hi, welcome to Juicing the People versus O.J. Simpson.
American Crime Story.
I'm Adam Papagan.
And I'm JJ Stratford.
This is the show where every week, it started out, we just talked about the O.J. miniseries, but it's become so much more on our quest, our eventual goal to actually interview Cato Kaelin on this program. But we're going to keep it going where every week we're going to talk about the O.J. Simpson trial, different aspects of it, because there's just so much to talk about.
It's like an onion. There's just layer after layer.
It is like it's just like an onion, the onion case. Well, let's get into this week in OJ news. OJ, okay, so this is something which I think we talked about this briefly on the show, but OJ's up for parole next year. I don't think he's gonna get out next year, but I do think he's gonna get out, and I think he's gonna be beloved.
Oh, yeah,
I think
definitely.
most people have forgotten.
If you don't think he's gonna get out next year, when do you think? What do you think's gonna get him out?
Okay, either the governor being termed out of Nevada, because governors don't like to grant parole because it makes them look soft on crime. But if it's not an election year, he's not worried about it. So that could get him out. I think that's probably his best bet. I don't think it'll happen next year, but probably in about 5 years, I think.
What if he was like pardoned by President Trump?
Oh, that would be amazing. He should do that. If Trump ran on an OJ pardon platform.
He should just go for it, right? I
Yeah.
mean, he's already headed that way.
What if Obama pardons him?
That
Could
would be
happen.
great too.
I don't think he.
I don't think he would, though.
Nah, not gonna happen.
It's too touchy.
But yeah, oh, but he's ready for his comeback. He gave an interview a couple weeks ago where he said that he wanted to date Chris Kardashian
Again.
and Caitlyn Jenner. He wants to date both of them, he said. I think OJ has gone crazy because of the CTE.
I think if you lock up an egomaniac, they're gonna go crazy too. If you're really into all that attention and then you're in a jail cell, that could add to the, or you really believe in CTE.
Yeah, of course. It's definitely dangerous to play sports.
Right.
And I never to explain why I wasn't good at sports either. So, I was just smart. Just didn't want to get hurt. So it's a very convenient for me. Speaking of being crazy, I am crazy about orange juice. Farmbox.com. Farmbox deliver fresh produce right to your door. If you're living in LA, check out Farmbox LA. If you're not, check out their website for a city near you where you can get these great juices, vegetables, fruits right to your door every week. We love drinking their juice here on the show. Nice and thick this week.
Ooh, in a
Thick and
tall
pulpy.
glass, wow.
Tall glass OJ.
There's like a mixed
Well, it's because we always
mixed
have to
branding.
refill the glasses. Oh wow, that's a
It's
lot of,
chunky.
man, this is a
A
lot of orange
lot.
juice.
We
A lot of
usually drink out
sugar.
of a teeny little
That's never
glass.
enough though.
Well,
I'm probably gonna
cheers.
finish it tonight. That's good juice.
They squeezed the juice
They squeezed it
over
good over at Farm Box. We say don't squeeze the juice, but in this particular instance,
We say, please squeeze
please squeeze it
the
and let us
juice.
enjoy it. So, in some other OJ news, OJ Tour is going gangbusters, blown out of it.
Good.
Did three OJ tours on Saturday alone, all right in a row. Which is a long time to talk about OJ. I mean, I know we do this show every week watching it, but
Yeah.
like to have this to say the same beats down for 3 hours, basically. I'm talking.
How does it feel to keep doing the tour? Like, how do you feel like you're like mastering it or?
No. If anything, it's getting less fun. Uh-huh. And now it's kind of becoming, unfortunately, I just look at it as a way to make money, an easy buck, which is not my intention of why I was doing the OJ tour. I didn't come up with the OJ tour. A friend of mine, Stu Krieger, did. But I really wanted to go on it. He didn't give the OJ tour anymore. But when I went on it, he graciously allowed me to keep it going. So I identify with everybody going on the OJ tour because I was once in your shoes. You were on the OJ tour. I just wanted to know more about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to share that information. But it's getting to be a little bit of a grind. On the other hand, compared to some of the other grinds out there, it's not so bad. And, you know, you meet different people, and it's cool. But so I had to hit 3 OJ tours in a row on Saturday. The previous week, uh-huh. on Friday evening, I did a tour and was interviewed by these radio producers who recorded the whole tour.
Like NPR people?
Yeah, like public radio types. Mm-hmm. It's for audible.com, it's going to come out on, but Audible and Amazon originals. But they had the mics, and they definitely looked like...
They weren't just recording it on their phones, right?
No, they had like a nice mic with like the uh-huh. fuzzy thing around it, and they took them around. That felt a little weird.
How was their line of questioning? Because a lot of those shows are like very formulaic. They hit like beats at certain points in it.
Yeah, no, they were trying to trap me. See?
But get sound bites. Not that that's like totally bad, but it's like it's
coercive.
Like got already an opinion attached to it.
Yeah, exactly. No, they were definitely trying to. I went with the knowledge. You know, I do this show. I know how it works. I know how to draw information out of somebody if you're looking for an answer. So I also know how to deflect it. So I was very. Good. I mean, who knows what they're going to do to edit it? And with audio too, it's a lot easier to edit to make you sound foolish or
what were the sort of things they were asking you then?
Well, they asked me. First when we were at the house. They're like, "Does anybody ever?" We're at Nicole's condo, and mm-hmm. like, "Does anybody ever come out and tell you to stop doing this and to go away?" And I was like, "2 people got murdered here." Nobody said shit, so they're not. I don't think anybody's gonna come out and tell me to stop looking at their driveway.
Right. So it's not that. Like anywhere like it used to be either.
Yeah, exactly. And then they asked me. When you're pulling in for like the parking spot and to do the interview portion, the young lady asked me, she's like, "Do you feel like you're profiting off of this media circus?" And I said, "This is good on my part." I said, mm-hmm. "Yeah, aren't you?" So I turned it right back around on her. She's, you know, getting paid money to travel around and do all this stuff. And after she apologized for that question. See, they're nice. I don't think they're going to use it. But I spit it right back on
her. She apologized.
Yeah, she apologized for that question.
After the interview?
After we parked, a few minutes later. Yeah. She's like, "Yeah, sorry, it was a weird question, but I..." Yeah, so I think I did a good job. But that brings us into, very nicely, the topic for today's episode, which is OJ and the media. This case would not be what it was without the media. So we're going to talk about how the media played into all of this, how they were, you know, a character just like OJ or Shapiro or Marsha Clark or any of those people. So how do you want to dive into this?
Well, first I just want to say about making money off of the OJ Simpson trial. Uh-huh. I did grab a good quote from Larry Flint about it.
Okay.
And because he published OJ, The Triumph and the Tragedy, just like 3 days after he started putting it together, like 3 days after the Bronco chase. Smart. He wasn't the first person to put out an OJ book, but he was like maybe the third. Mm-hmm. So he says, "People have been making money off of the tragedies of other people since the beginning of time. The dollar is where it's at. Everything else is secondary."
Mm. Very true. Very true. Very funny. Good businessman.
Good businessman, yeah. Talk about deflecting the media.
Yeah.
Because It's kind of a strange question to ask when it was a TV interview that he was asking.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the media loves to play like they're high and mighty or they're objective, but they're really not. Society is spectacle.
Yeah.
So we watched to prepare for this, watched a very good documentary that was produced during the trial. No, before the trial.
Before the trial.
Before the trial, actually.
For British television.
Yeah. And they do good documentary work, the Brits.
Yeah, I like British take on it because it's very, they're not really ashamed of being or holding, they don't really hold back the tabloid, like sensationalism. Mm-hmm.
Well, they love the tabloids.
Yeah, they're
the best.
They
killed Princess Di with the tabloids. We can do a Princess Di show.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah, so this was a great, they interviewed a lot of the players in the media.
The most interesting thing about the documentary is that when they're interviewing the anyone that works in the media or is an expert of the media, they have a mirror set up behind them. So the interview portion, you can see the media at the same time. So it's like a good reflection of itself.
Mm-hmm. Very, very.
Which is like, yeah, very aware of like Guy Debord's The Spectacle,
mm-hmm.
where it's like the media is impacting itself. It's just like a feedback loop. There is sort of, we can point our finger at the media, but it's just how it is.
Where do you think that idea came from to put the mirror behind?
Oh, somebody went like, somebody in, like went to art school in that crew, or maybe several of them did.
The thing about an idea like that, though, is it's not specific. It was a cool effect, and I liked it.
Showing the media is aware of itself.
Yeah, but they could have done that in anything about the media. So I wonder if they were like, the person who introduced that was kind of mad that they burned that idea with this, or if they do it in other documentaries. You know what I mean?
I really hope it's a style, because I really walked away from that just like with a lot of, I thought it was a really interesting thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to with the OJ case.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you can't really talk. Yeah, well, we can dive in.
Well, no, I was just about to say, let's dive in now.
It's good if we break it up, where we talk about maybe how it all started.
Okay. So the thing that really kicked off the whole thing was the Bronco chase.
Mm-hmm.
That was really what signified to the world, all bets are off with this. Nothing like this has ever happened before. This is really weird. It was on TV. Famously, they cut away from the NBA playoffs. And you have a TV guide here. So the Bronco chase, that was televised. And that, I think, kind of set a precedent that we were going to see all of this unfold. They were going to have cameras in the courtroom. Because literally the whole thing is documented. There's the Bronco there behind us.
Yeah. Well, 95 million people watched the Bronco chase.
Wow.
That same year, 90 million people watched the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So 5 million more people were tuned into the Bronco chase.
And the Super Bowl is on a Sunday.
That's right.
It's not during work.
Yeah.
Like people were... Mm-hmm. I remember we after school program, and they turned on the car chase for all the children to watch, which is also kind of symbolic that like judgment, good judgment was going to go out the window with this case too. You know, covering this tastefully.
Right, because as soon as the Bronco chase happened, it kind of started to introduce all the characters.
Mm-hmm. So weird though that happened. It's so weird. Imagine if Kobe Bryant killed his wife and then went on a car chase. He was trying to escape to Mexico. And people were stoked about it. That was the other thing, too, with the car chase, is it showed the media that people really didn't care if OJ was guilty or not. They did, but they also didn't. They still wanted to see him. They still were kind of reserving judgment, or at least they were saying. So this the coverage of the car chase, though, was just one thing in a long history of crime being covered on television. So I have a little timeline here. What are some of the highlights?
So this is just like a history of a court on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So the first trial was in 1935, the first major trial covered by newsreel cameras.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, it's been going on for a long time. The first live TV broadcast of a trial in the first trial in Waco, Texas, 1955. Then, sort of more famously, then we have the Watergate investigation.
Mm.
1973 to 1974. So I think that's probably when the people really got intrigued with the legal process and like seeing it like a TV drama rather than a real life case, which is very spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then, let's see, 1991 is the case of Marlon Brando's son, Christian Brando, who is accused of the murder of his half-sister's boyfriend.
Mm.
And I remember that one was starting to introduce that like Hollywood and like sex murder.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get a little more glamorous than like politicians.
Yeah, it's a schlub.
Yeah. Like Marlon Brando, he's like the most, he's like the grandfather of the OJ trial.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Because he's got that really sort of mysterious thing about him. Something that keeps you guessing the way mm-hmm. OJ does. But I think that's why the Bronco chase also kind of started it all, because you're watching it in disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the first time you see it, like a celebrity car chase.
Yeah.
That long.
Mm-hmm. Celebrity car chase. Car chases were also big in the 90s too.
Mm-hmm.
I think the police actually asked eventually the news to stop covering them, because it was encouraging people to go on car chases. That's what they said. The same liar cops that framed OJ.
Also, 2 years after the OJ trial was over, there's the guy that killed himself on the 105. And they televised it.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was like, he had made like a banner that said like, stop HMOs or something, and then he like lit himself on fire and
Whoa.
Then shot himself on live TV.
Wow.
And then the media started mm-hmm. to kind of cut it off. It's too far.
Too far.
But these were the innocent times.
Yeah, these were the innocent times.
People were like actually cheering him, watching him on TV and cheering him on.
Mm-hmm.
And in the documentary, what's interesting is he gets a phone call from Vince Evans, a friend of his, who's like, sobbing, like, and asking him to surrender and not hurt himself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very emotional, but at the same time, you can tell that he's watching it on television as he's talking, because there's like feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter's like, can you turn your TV down? So it's like this whole sort of the stirring of the circus is mm-hmm. born.
Yeah. And a big player in the circus was Court TV, came around this time. So did all, I don't remember entirely. Was OJ just on? Like, could you just like turn on the TV and then the trial would be going on, or were they showing highlights, or what was going on?
The trial was on KTLA. KTLA Channel 5 had mm-hmm. it all day long. Like, they canceled soap operas and like afternoon programs.
Just all day long.
All day long. And then also CNN was really new. So CNN yeah. was showing it. And so then all the local stations started to show it, because they didn't want CNN to be the only station that was covering the trial. Because it would give them so much power. Mm. Obviously, everyone's so obsessed with it.
So they let all the channels in. What is the mm-hmm. Court TV kill switch?
So if there is something on, there was someone that was like monitoring what went out on the air mm-hmm. in the live trial. And if it was getting too much or too graphic, or Judge Ito would like make a motion, they would like cut the camera and the sound out.
Mm.
So that was someone's job the whole time, is like determining what is and isn't going to go out on television.
So somebody saw like all of this, saw the most OJ trial. I wonder if they were riveted by it, or because they were working, they're kind of sick of it by the end of it. Like they were exhausted.
Yeah.
Because you hear about the lawyers being exhausted by all of this, and the jury wanted to go home and stuff like that. Media can't get enough.
Media can't stop.
Cannot stop.
It's interesting. I wish that they had shown it more in the miniseries, but how every corridor is like packed with media on the outside of the courthouse, and how so many, I'm sure so many reporters, like it was like a bonding experience for them.
A woman I met for doing OJ stuff was a reporter for CNN. She works for CNN now. She used to work for the LA Times, so she knows a lot of people over there. She said that a couple years ago, they had a reunion, like a press reunion of all the people who covered the OJ trial. Because you're working together all day.
Oh my God, that sounds so fun. Oh.
And she said that they all looked back on it like that was those were their best days.
Yeah.
Like they were very nostalgic about those times.
Because when do you see the media like so compressed like that? Like, even though they're working at like competing stations and different newspapers, they're all crammed in this room. They're all like clawing at this like, you know, meaty story.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. I think it's got to have had some kind of, at least in terms of human interaction, a positive thing.
Definitely. And a lot of people have built their empires, their careers out of this. So Greta Van Susteren, Harvey Levin. Harvey Levin was just,
he's interesting.
Some schlocky, like, what did he do?
He's in the documentary.
Yeah, he is.
He's in it. He's still like a reporter. He's like a newscaster at that time. I always thought he was on the scene.
No, he would just talk about it. And he's on the People's Court. But I think that happened after this. That's how he got that show.
But he learned. He was paying it. It doesn't mean that he made it during that time, but he was taking it in. Because he put a whole new, he kind of kept that tabloid spirit alive.
Well, and they grew it into TMZ.
Right, which I don't know, a lot of people kind of talk bad about, but I kind of like it because it still keeps it like National Inquiry. It's still that same kind of like.
The thing I don't like about TMZ is that the show is just them talking about.
They need a total redesign.
Yeah.
With like their Starbucks cups and they're like, so what'd you learn today? Yeah.
And then it's just like a thing, the clip, and then some mean comments.
It would be so good if it was just like a current affair or hard copy. All these great tabloid shows that were.
But if they were doing hard copy, there would still be a room where they were pitching what was going to be on the show. TMZ, economical, just. Cut all that out.
Like, yeah.
The show talking about what is going to be on the show is the show. But yeah, all because of OJ. And then, of course, the Kardashians are, kind of a distant. They have their roots in this, too. They're not really part of the media, though.
I have a good quote from Robert Kardashian about the media.
Okay.
Why should reporters and photographers camp outside our homes? Why should the personal life of a private citizen be torn apart to provide one more meaningless detail to the mass hysteria? So great is society's demand for information that we can no longer say that all news gathered is worthy of airing. Much of it is not. Robert Kardashian, 1995.
Wow. Wow.
What do you think he'd think of his daughter's
show? He'd be disappointed. They've done a lot of things that would disappoint him. He's a church-going man.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter's having sex with a rapper on film.
He would have dropped the Bible in her bedroom. Yeah. Another thing I thought was, I fascinating about that documentary is the a new story I'd never heard before about the helicopter pilot and his wife. They watched, this is how the Bronco was found on the freeway initially. So him and his wife were watching the Robert Kardashian read the letter on the air. And they were like, we've got to go out there. We've got to find OJ. They said the first place they thought he might be was Nicole Simpson's grave. So they flew out over there and they found the Bronco. So they called it in, mm-hmm. and then they immediately went on air. And so that's what spread it. That's how like all the helicopters got there. Yeah, that's how all like footage like this got.
They went out.
They were like a weird power couple, like helicopter.
Like report. Like Heart and Heart.
Yeah.
Is that what that show is?
Heart to Heart?
Heart to Heart, yeah.
Yeah. Helicopter reporters. It would be such a good TV show.
We need to get a helicopter.
Oh, that would be so good. Like, okay, Adam.
We could do so much good if we had a helicopter. So much great entertainment.
Yeah.
And yeah, they would. Oh, in the documentary, they were interviewing the people who from the call box. The yes. couple, from, they were not hippies.
They were not hippies. It's like doubly confirmed. So the real people that called on the call box. The best thing about that is that they make the couple reenact.
Yeah, they go to the exact call box.
They're
that's
like,
right.
They have like a camera on the freeway, and they're like the voiceover's like. So they pulled over in there. They changed lanes, and then they showed the couple like change lanes, and then they found a call box, and then they play the 911 phone call or whatever. And then while they're filming it, the guy is reenacting it, but you can tell he's like trying not to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
That he's just like, this is so dumb. My girlfriend's totally making me do this because she wants to be on TV.
Gotta find that call box.
Oh, that's such a good addition to the tour.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of doing like the downtown tour, like the court side?
The tour is not, because it's not a tour of the murder trial.
Right.
It's a tour of Brentwood and it's a tour of their lives before all of this happened. A little foreshadowing into what happened later. Because the church where her funeral was is in Brentwood, but it's a little out of the route. So I decided not to include it
because mm-hmm.
there's just not a logical place in the
but
story.
But this would be a different one.
Oh, this is a different tour?
Yeah, you're a professional tour guide. You should have lots of different tours.
OJ Tour 2, Crime and Punishment. Okay, I like that. We can work on that.
The media tour.
OJ Media
this
Tour.
This is where the reporters camped out. Mm-hmm.
It's the guy in the chicken costume.
Yeah. This is where the lady had the boombox at the media song she wrote.
Oh yeah, that lady. There's a lady in this movie. It was called OJ Media Mania. We put it on our Facebook page, a link to it, and you can find it on YouTube. There's a lady who wrote a song about OJ. And they like close out the special with her
performing it off a boombox in front of the courthouse.
Yeah, she was great.
And did you see her T-shirt in it? Mm. The lady that's selling.
Don't squeeze. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The black ones though. My shirt's white.
I know.
I thought it looks better.
But it's still the same.
Yeah,
design.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same screens.
Yeah, that's right. Man, I wish I had more of those. They're all on eBay. I wish I had more OJ merch. Speaking of OJ merch, all the books that came out because of this. Fuel to the Fire. And I would even say that the American Crime Story and these shows that are coming out could be put in an OJ library. Are part of the are canon now.
You think they are?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, you know, they take these facts and they put their own spin on them. Now, a lot of the books are pretty similar, but they'll have some angle. We have a couple here. We have OJ A to Z. There's the Faye Resnick book, obviously.
These are the key books,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, key books. We're going to give you, there's, If I Did It, which came out later. Murder in Brentwood, best one. Mark Furman's book is the best. Even the lady who recorded the Furman tapes wrote a book off of all of this. I'd love to have a complete OJ library. But if I was going to do that, the centerpiece might be this book right here. It's called I Want to Tell You. This is a very interesting project. It's a collection of letters written to OJ.
While he was in jail.
And then it was published during the trial to help with his legal defense fund.
It's going to be expensive.
Yeah. No, and it was, all those lawyers. Do you know anything else about this book? How it was received?
Well, I know it's written by Lawrence Schiller.
Who
later wrote American Tragedy.
Okay.
He's the one who also was trying to do a deal with Robert Kardashian for the pay-per-view.
Yes.
And he kind of had a falling out with OJ. Him and Robert all sort of like...
American
Tragedy is the one that all people have suggested. He was like privy to the information about the trial because he was working on that with OJ.
Mm.
So it's kind of his second book is more scandalous.
Okay, what was the pay-per-view special?
The pay-per-view was a kind of be like, I want to tell you, but after OJ got out, he wasn't just going to do a TV interview. He was going to do a Beyonce and cash in.
Ah. Terrible. And it fell apart because of...
I think they, as businessmen, thought it was a good idea, but as soon as the media caught wind of it, they were like, that's unethical.
To charge money to have him talk. Well, these letters in here are interesting. Do you want to read a couple of them?
Yeah.
Because OJ responds to all of them. So he talks about it on the dust jacket here. Mm-hmm. It says, at last, in his own words, OJ talks about his innocence, his life with Nicole Brown Simpson, his kids, the media, the judicial system, spousal abuse, religion, and of course, racism. So here, just find a...
I'm going to find a letter.
Great. Every book does something the best. This book has the best pictures.
Because they're from OJ's personal stash.
Stash of pictures of his family.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you read the letter, and then I'll read the OJ portion.
All right, I'm sure they're all good.
Yeah, they wouldn't have published it if it wasn't of high quality.
Everyone who wrote a letter is in the back of the book, too.
Whoa, it's at Rockingham.
At Rockingham. This is like basically the old, these are the OJ, like.
These are
the fan club. Yeah.
Yeah,
these are them.
Wow.
Plus like the jury.
Yeah.
Hi, OJ, keep your head up high. When I wake in the night and think of you and pray for you, I know you are hurting more deeply than you can express to anyone, nor can anyone fully understand your hurt. Deep down, you know you are not alone. You know who is always with you, don't you, OJ? You have a gentleness about you that even you seem to be unaware of. Live and may your special prayers be answered. Margaret Daniel, Garden Grove, California.
I held it against my father for a lot of years after he separated from my mother. Then, I separated from my first wife, Marguerite. I realized it wasn't necessarily my dad's fault that he and my mom broke up. Sometimes two people reach a point when it's time to go down different paths. That's what happened to Nicole and me, even before we were divorced. I know Nicole had to go through whatever she was going through. Many women who have kids in their 20s go through changes. Once they get to their 30s, they need to discover their own identity. These women need to go out and make their own friends and do their own thing. When Nicole and I split up that first time in January 92, it caused us both a lot of pain. It's interesting that was my OJ impression, by the way. It's interesting. OJ's voice in this, his voice as an author, is similar to And If I Did It.
It is.
So that must be like how he really talked, this ghostwriter and Pablo Finavez.
Your imitation is true to if I did it, the audiobook.
I listened to the whole audiobook. It's like 6 hours long of just the guy talking like OJ. And I'm sure that guy did some research to watch some interviews with OJ to get the voice down. So I don't think it was a pretty good impression. Do you want to read one
OJ
more?
OJ laughs a lot after he says a lie, too. Let's see. Oh, yay. Okay, I just happened to pick this one. Dear OJ, I read that you are tormented about the death of your ex-wife. I would be also. I'm sure you cry for her. Do you also cry for Mr. Goldman?
Ooh.
Unsigned, postmark, Boston, Massachusetts.
I feel badly for Mr. Goldman's family. I feel his family's hurt and pain. But I had nothing to do with his death. Ha ha. To me, it's like the unknown soldier. Courageous. That's a weird thing to say. Courageous. He called the dead man courageous.
He was courageous for trying to do karate against a knife.
Yeah. He's a black belt. He could have done it. Great. OJ's kids. OJ's kids live in Florida, and his son is a realtor. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
And Sydney owns some apartment buildings. And as we covered on this show some weeks ago, she's like 400 pounds.
We read about that in the tabloids.
Yes. So that's definitely stress eating. Because OJ and Nicole, they were, you know, they're fit, attractive people. These are cute kids, so there's no reason that should have had, you know. So tormented. Courageous. Great pictures of OJ and Nicole. Short-haired Nicole.
I love it. That's when she's hit her 30s and she's trying to find herself, mm-hmm. like you mentioned.
Yeah,
you
gotta make her own friends.
Yeah.
That's the thing about women.
When you pick them up when they're 17, you gotta let them have their own friends eventually.
Mm-hmm. There, yeah. OJ really knew a lot about women. Yeah. All right, so one thing about the media and OJ that I feel like we definitely need to cover, because this played a big part in keeping the store going. And another person who benefited from this tragedy, Jay Leno.
Yes.
Jay Leno did more OJ jokes than anyone. He got so much mileage. I was watching an old episode of The Tonight Show from 1995. Monologue was like 15 minutes. So he was doing 15 minutes of mostly OJ jokes. There's an anecdote I read, not even in, it was a book about talk shows, not even a book about OJ, but there's an essay in it where a guy was head writer for Jay Leno at the time.
Oh.
It was, so Jay takes over Tonight Show in 92. David Letterman comes out in 94, so that's the late night wars. You know, going for ratings. They were neck and neck. Jay wanted to focus more on the monologue and the jokes.
And the interview portion.
Right. And the segments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Since the OJ trial was a local story and there was just coverage of it and stuff like that, they were able to do more OJ jokes. You know, it's just on their mind. They were able to put more OJ stuff, the dancing Itos.
I love the dancing Itos.
The lot of like sketches of like OJ not saying stuff and stuff. They were able to put all that into The Tonight Show. And because people were so interested in OJ, they would watch The Tonight Show over David Letterman because they wanted to see more jokes about OJ.
Right, because David Letterman's filmed in New York City. It's totally a different mindset.
Exactly.
You're not as... I mean, it was big news, but not like in Los Angeles.
And this... All the specifics about this trial are tailor-made to plug into formulaic monologue jokes.
Oh, yeah.
He said, so I watched one that was from like right after the verdict.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, yeah, I guess OJ's going to be on, give an interview on 2020. And the jury's going to be on Unsolved Mysteries.
It's a good joke.
That's pretty funny, right?
Yeah.
And oh, he was talking about, he's like, oh, can you believe this? There's going to be an O.J. Simpson Halloween mask. Don't let your kid wear it, though, because if another kid comes up with a Robert Kardashian or Johnny Cochran Halloween mask, he'll take all their candy. Jade, speaking the truth. And the dancing Itos.
The dance, that's what I was going to mention, is that that's taking it so far, like a choreographed dance routine of the judge. I love it.
A bunch of them. There's the village Itos.
Yeah. Well, I think it also, like, it could, the case could get too serious. It's like, kind of helps you, like, lighten it up and look at it for what it is. What it is.
Well, what it is a murder trial.
Or look at it for what it is and, like, try to find the humor in it. Uh-huh. Or, like, try to express it some other way, even if it seems like a really dorky idea.
I agree with you. I was just giving it a hard time. I think it's great. Because the dancing, they had nothing to do with OJ or the case. It was the word Ito is funny, and he looked funny. And it's an easy costume because it's a beard and glasses.
It also makes him the star rather than the other sides or OJ.
Yeah.
Making the judge the star.
There's no dancing Darden.
No dance.
Dancing Darden could be kind of funny, though.
Well, Marcia Clark did study dance. So it's not that hard to believe that she would, because she does a number with the dancing Itos.
Marcia.
Wow. You see why Jay Leno, I understand why you say Jay Leno is underrated.
Yeah, he is. He is. By the younger generation. The generation that doesn't, you know, they just see the hacky jokes. They forget the roots of this, how funny it was at the time. I remember on his last episode a couple years ago, he had to throw in, he's doing his like final monologue. He throws in, hey, you know, OJ's still looking for the killers.
Yay, he really, it was his golden period.
Yeah, it really was.
For Jay Leno, the media, it was good times.
Mm-hmm. Great times. And was there anything else we needed to cover?
Oh, so
in this
we
episode?
Wanted to talk about the 1995 OJ movie, TV movie, mm-hmm. which I didn't realize was a Rupert Murdoch production. It's all just so good.
Yeah, it was rushed into production. They in our, the documentary we've been referring to, they brag about how quickly they made it. And I think because, you know, that might be how they kept it more accurate or more grounded, because it was before the trial even started. It was set to premiere like that week.
It was originally scheduled to air a week before the trial.
Yeah.
It also makes sense why certain things in the 1995 movie are like not the like lightened up for television, because you know the famous story about Nicole and the owner of Mezzaluna,
Keith Zlumsowicz.
They're just like cuddling on the couch mm-hmm. in the 1995 movie when OJ sees them. Softened it up for
mm-hmm. yeah she wasn't that's the way I heard she was performing oral sex on him.
Yeah,
but she knew that OJ was spying on her. She wanted to rile him up.
Yeah, it was like
women in their 30s, you know. they gotta find their own personality. And then just real quickly, look at all these tabloids we have. Here's the Globe.
That one's a recent one, which shows how they're not that different.
Mm-mm.
They still have this.
Is that Keith Zlumsowicz in that picture?
Is that him?
That's him, yeah. That's Keith Zlumsowicz.
Oh my god, he's not even the one grabbing her tits.
No. She was, she's having a good time.
Well, the director of the O.J. Simpson movie, TV movie, was not one bit ashamed of making it a TV movie and exploiting the idea.
TV movies, though, are usually typically ripped from the headlines, though. And they usually have some kind of social commentary, or at least are about some kind of social issues. So I think it was just in the tradition of Boy in the Plastic Bubble and The Burning Bed and all those. It's just as good as any of those.
He did have a good quote that said, I think ethics is an amusing question for people who work in television.
Mm.
Everything is self-serving.
Very true. That explains why somebody with that clarity could make such a good movie. He got it. Larry Flint gets it.
Yeah.
Jay Leno gets it.
It's almost like the tabloid people are sort of more... they're more tuned into the narrative. Even Tubin says that.
But they're creating the narrative.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, Tubin's in this movie too, huh?
Yeah, young and like not so polished Tubin. We'll post it on our Facebook page. It's really good.
Yeah, I think I posted it last week.
Oh, you did.
But if you don't follow us on Facebook, please do like us. But you can see it there anyway, and it's called OJ Media Mania. Let's end with a joke here. Okay, I did this joke last night on... This one's long. I never read this one. This one is pretty good. What goes vroom slash slash vroom? An OJ drive-by. Drive-bys were big in the 90s.
Yeah.
Drive-by. Okay, do you want to hear a different one?
Yeah.
I'm going to read this long one. I have never read this one. But
yeah.
Nicole went to her psychiatrist, Dr. Susan Forward, very upset. She told her that last night at dinner, she made the slight Freudian slip with OJ and was very frightened. The shrink said, "Don't worry about it, Nicole. Freudian slips are perfectly natural. Sometimes our subconscious thoughts escape from our mind and cause us to have these so-called Freudian slips. Why don't you tell me exactly what happened?" Nicole answered, "Last night, OJ was coming over and wanted to reconcile. I wanted everything perfect for our dinner. Doctor, it was beautiful. OJ wore his new tux and I wore my favorite evening gown. The table was magnificent. I served his favorite wine and meal by candlelight. We had soft music playing in the background. In the middle of dinner, I turned to him and what I really wanted to say was, 'My precious darling OJ, will you please pass the mashed potatoes?' But what came out was, 'You lousy, no good bastard, you've ruined my whole life.'" Not really an OJ joke. It's a joke.
It's
but,
just a, yeah.
You know, there can't all be gems. I feel like we say that every week.
I kind of like the duds, too. They have their own merits.
The Jay Leno jokes I told were funny. So remember those. Thank you all for tuning in, for listening, watching. Check us out on the different platforms. There's a podcast, check out the video, check out the whatever. Find us where you want to find us. Till next time, this is Adam Papp again for JJ Stratford saying, don't squeeze the juice.